thrilled about that, you know. Let me get this up here just a little bit. I'm rather surprised that no one said much about politics this week. I mean, we're right in the season. You people, everybody got lockjaw where I come. You know, we're bantering and fighting back and forth, and must be you're all on the same side. That's the only thing I figure about. You don't have anything to talk about. I know the pulpit's not the best place to talk about politics. I know. But people always ask me, well, where do you stand on this or where do you stand on that? I've just finally summed it up this way. I am so conservative that I won't even get on an airplane that has a left wing. Okay, now, if you want to know, you can ask me, but I'll tell you, that's pretty much where I stand. And the one thing I know for sure, that Jesus is Lord. And that's about the only thing I know for sure, but I know that's true, and I know we can trust him. And so if you see me leaning right, that's why. That's kind of where I am. Hey, thanks again for coming. I'm having a great time. I hope you are. We've been talking really about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to communicate with God. That's right. If there wasn't, we couldn't. It's through the Holy Spirit that we pray, even when you don't know what to pray. Even when you don't even know what to say. It talks about that. He talks about with groanings that can't even be uttered. You don't even know what to say. God knows your heart. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we don't always have the best communication skills. I have found out, France and I have been married 42 years. Very brave woman. Very brave woman. I met Francie one day. I'm not telling anyone to do this. I'm just telling you what happened to us, okay? I'm not recommending this. But I met Francie. I asked her to marry me 2 weeks later. And we got married 6 weeks after that. So I'm just telling you, it can happen pretty quick. I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you that it has. It was 42 years later. Now we're 42 years later. And Francie's one of a dozen children. I have six brothers, seven boys in my family, but she has 11 brothers and sisters. And so her mother, who has passed away, her name was Elizabeth, a wonderful lady, taught me a lot. And so we had been married about a year. And my mother-in-law finally got up enough nerve to ask me, "How long did you know Francie when you got married?" And so communication is very important to me. So this was my answer. It was like maybe 11 months short of a year. So communication is very, very important. Francie and I, this is free. All this stuff doesn't cost you anything. Francie and I have found out that in our marriage, communication is like everything. It's like communicating. So she and I made some rules early on about communicating. And one of the rules we made that I think has helped us a lot, and I think it can be true in any relationship, husband, wife, brother and sister, mom and dad, anybody, is this. That since we made this commitment for life or death forever, we've made this commitment that that whenever there is a problem, we have the right to confront the other person, husband and wife. We have a right to do that. Now, if it's just an irritation, she never puts the toilet paper on the right side. It should flow out this way. But, you know, I mean, she never changes. She always squeezes the toothpaste. I mean, but those things just don't matter, okay? They're just irritations, and you learn to live with those things. But if it's something that becomes more than an irritation, I mean, this is something we need to talk about. She and I have a rule that either one has the right to confront the other one and say, this is a problem. But our rule is, it's a one-problem conversation. See, if she brings something to me and says, this is a problem, then I don't have a right to say, yeah, but you, here, there, and everything. It is a one-subject conversation. Now, doesn't that make sense? That's how you communicate, and that's how you get things done. So I think probably in most relationships through the whole world, everything is taking place. Most of the time, our problem is communication. It's mostly communication. And I speak Korean. I've shared that with you. The problem with Korean is the word come means go. Kamnida, please come. It means go. So communication is always a problem. Okay. Now, I'll tell you that I think the second biggest thing, I've counseled hundreds of people, the second thing is normally money. It's finances. Communication and finances. If you sit down and you talk to people, it's either people, sometimes people have too much money, and that's a problem. Sometimes people don't have enough money, and they have to have money, and so that creates a problem. And it's how you spend your money, you know, how much money you earn, you make enough, not enough. And those are the two issues. There are more, but that's my opinion in life. It's communication and finances. Now, I said all that to get to this. Tonight, if I were you, I know you don't really know me, you know, any more than Adam's house cat. But listen, if you want to know about money, you need to come tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to show you something. I guarantee you're going to learn something that you never knew in your life. And I will show you how to have money, how to manage money, and it'll be from the Word of God. And I absolutely promise you that if you come tonight, you'll be glad you came, and you ought to bring someone with you, especially our younger people, and you ought to come because you're going to learn something. Is that true? He's heard this message. It's true. It changed my life. It's helped me, and I won't be blowing smoke. I'll be telling you tonight about these things. And it's not a gotcha, and I promise you, you'll learn things. So communication. Well, we're very fortunate. We've been talking about, through the series of messages, starting the other evening, about the Holy Spirit. He's a real person. It's God. The Holy Spirit is God. And we set a whole foundation about God as a spirit. And we were singing about, we want to come down, we want to see you. We really do want to see God, but if you're going to see God, you have to look at Jesus. You have to look at Jesus because that's where you're going to see God. Yeah, other than that, you're going to experience him. You're going to suspect him, and you're going to see his actions and things. But God is a spirit. He is a spirit. And we learned that once a person comes to the time in their life when they turn away from their sins, they recognize that they're a sinner, and they realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He is the only way to have your sins paid for. He is the only way. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. And it's not in question. Let me tell you something. Someday will come, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's not a question of whether he's Lord or whether he's Savior. He is. Amen. He is. It's a question of whether he's your Lord and your Savior, and whether he lives inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit. But it's not a question of whether he is or not. It's a question of whether he is inside of you and whether you possess him and he possesses you. That's the question. Okay? But he's for everyone. There's never been a person that came to him that he has rejected and said, no, I won't come into your life. Every person, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, can be saved. Whoever, it doesn't make any difference. So we talked about him being a spirit. We taught many things about, he is our teacher. We talked about the Bible. It is inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. He is the author of that. You want to know God? Get in that book. You want to know about God? Get in that book. You want to know what God would do in this situation? You want to know what God would have to do? Get in that book. Amen. He has told us in that book. It is the revelation of God. It's how God reveals himself. The book of Revelation at the end, it's not plural, by the way. Not revelations, it's revelation. If you want to know how God reveals himself, get into this book. It is the revelation. Not just the last book of the Bible, the whole Bible about how God is. So and we talked about how wonderful it is that when you accept the Lord, it's not just for the nasty now, or not just for the sweet by and by, but for the nasty now and now. I mean, I need the Lord today, right? I need him today. You know, it's not just when we get to heaven. That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. But I need him today. And we talked about how he fills us. Now, that's important that he fills us. You know why? You leak. You leak. I leak. But he comes and he'll fill us and keep filling us, and he'll fill whatever part of our life we give. It's just wonderful. And then we talked about gifts, about every person in the family of God has at least one gift. You are important to this body. You, God, through the Holy Spirit, has given you a gift. It's not something you asked for. It was a gift. He gave you a gift. And sometimes people have multiples of gifts, many times. And so it's very important to you. For the Bible says, listen, can the eye say to the toe, I don't need you? No. Can the finger say to the nose, I don't need you? No. Can one part of the body say, well, I'm preeminent, because I'm the ear, I can hear, and you're the nose, and all you can do is smell? No, that's not the way it is at all. They're all equal. They all have different responsibilities and different things to answer for. But I'm telling you, listen, we need each other. The body of Christ needs each other. I am so dependent upon you. You are so dependent upon me. This local body, you are dependent and you need each other. And you have something to offer. You have a gift. God has given you a gift. It's your responsibility to let the Holy Spirit reveal your gift to you and mature that gift. And I don't care if you've been a Christian since Jesus came through. Some of you look that old. Who do you think I'm talking about, Doc? Yeah. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Your gift continually being developed and bettered and more useful. Sharper. If you have a tool like a knife, it comes sharper, 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 more honed and more useful in your life. Okay, so the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in our life. One of my favorites is that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been sealed. The day that I received the Lord in my life, you know what a notary seal is, where you put the implant on it? Well, the Lord Jesus put his seal on me. He put his seal on you. And so you've been sealed. And that imprint is there, and you belong to him. So many things that the Holy Spirit has taught us. Well, today, I want to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you look over in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, I want to read some scripture to you. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 19, this is what the word of the Lord says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now this is actually one of my favorite topics in the whole Bible, about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6 that our responsibility of Christians is to yield our lives to God. We've been traveling across the United States, and every time we're getting on the highway, I see that triangle sign. What does that say? Yeah, good, good. Yield, says yield. Now, what does that mean? What that means is you're fixing to join some traffic. And the bigger picture is it may be a semi coming. And if I were you, I wouldn't pull out in front of that semi. Right? Your job, my job, is to yield. The other person has the right of way. If it's big, it's going to be bad. Okay? Sometimes you're going to get the horn, right? Now, it is the same thing in the Christian life. I have this will. My will is pretty strong, actually. I can kind of enforce my will sometimes. But my job as a Christian is to yield my will to the will of God. Why? It's going to be safer for me. It's going to be better for me. If I will yield my life and yield my will and yield my desires and my works and my job and my life and my family and my marriage, and if I will yield to God, it's going to be better for me. And then it talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. You don't have to look there. I'll tell you what it says. It says, quench not the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you quench something, I kind of think you throw cold water on it. You quench the fire, you quench something. So listen, when the Holy Spirit of God is in your heart and he comes to you and he woos you in your heart, he kind of tickles you and he woos you and he says, this is the right thing. I want you to do this. I want you to think this. I want you to go here. I want, you know, and the wooing comes. He's saying, whatever you do, don't throw cold water on that. Don't quench that. For God does not have to use you. He desires to use you. He desires to use me. He's looking for me to yield my life to him, ask him to fill me so that he can use me. And listen, that's a privilege. You see, for you, I can see how God would use you. You're handsome and beautiful and pretty, and you got all these talents. You can sing. Yeah, I mean, you're wonderful. I can see how God would use you. I can see how God would use you. Pam, I can see how God would use you. But I'm telling you, when I think about how God, please, God, there's no way in the world you can use this guy. I know, I live with this guy. I live with him. And so it's very important to me when the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to use you here. It's very important to me that I don't quench that. What a privilege. What a privilege that God somehow would do something through me. Now, in chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and it goes to Lysias. Now, notice that it is fruit singular. It is not fruit plural. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is, and it goes on to list them. Now, notice before that, it talks about the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh, the original word here is the word ergon, E-R-G-O-N, from which we get our word energy. Because if you start working in the flesh and you do the acts of the flesh and the works of the flesh, it's going to wear you out. If we're in the flesh and we're acting in the flesh, we're motivated in the flesh, and we're doing the works of the flesh, And you get wore out and you get wore down and your life doesn't have purpose anymore, that's exactly what the fruit of it is. That's what he said. That's what the fruits of the flesh are. But not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruits of the flesh are plural. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is singular. And in Hebrews it talks about the fruit of our lips. You say what you say produces fruit, good or bad. You see, when I was in the first grade and that teacher, I mean, that was a long time ago, you understand, when I was in the first grade? And when that teacher told me I was dumb, I'm telling you, I forgot about that. I don't wear that. It was 63 years ago, but I forgot all about that teacher calling me dumb. She didn't really. But that's what happens when the fruit of your lips, isn't it? Fruit of your lips, it can go on. It can hurt people for a long, long time. Positive things producing positive results. And so the fruit of our lips are very important. It says in Romans chapter 1 that Paul said that he was desiring to see fruits of his converts. He wanted to see some production, some fruit. Do you know what the fruit of a Christian is? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Now, this is very important because I was reading through the bulletin and we got lots of people with title staff people here. Their job is to teach us. They are sheep. They're shepherd sheep. But the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. You see, shepherds don't bear sheep. Sheep bear sheep. You see? So every one of us, what's my responsibility? How many people should I lead to the Lord? Ever how many people, Lord, one Christian man should lead to the Lord. Right? Sheep bear sheep. And so I've always heard, and I will hear about it tonight too, about there was 100 sheep and one went away and they went looking for the one. It's not talking about believers. We'll talk about that tonight. Okay, listen, if you're a sheep and you're a church member and you get all disgruntled and you get all hot and bothered and you say, I'm not going to church there anymore, I'm not going, the bunch of hypocrites down there. We got room for a few more hypocrites here. Okay, listen, and you get mad and you walk away from the church, don't expect somebody to come begging you back. You be where you're supposed to be. I know, listen, I've been with the group that stayed. I've been with the group that left. I've been around. But I'm telling you, it is my job to be faithful to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And listen, to grow where I've been planted. It is no easier anyplace else. It's no easier. It's no better. This is the family of God. So our purpose, really, is to bring glory to God. We're talking about the fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that I bear much fruit. My purpose here on earth is to bring glory to God. That's my purpose. He don't need me for anything else. His desire is that through me I can somehow bring glory to Him. And He listen. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want you to read with me, I'll read it to you again, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So he gives the fruit of the Spirit, and then he uses the word but. But is a transition word. But, here's the fruit of the flesh, but, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. And he lifts them. Actually, he uses the word, the article here, but the, or the. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, a direct article. There are no other. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is how you're going to know. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And he talks about, he actually categorizes them, which I love. He loves love, joy, peace. Those are all inward fruit. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. These are outside things. Patience and goodness and nicety. Then faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are all upward. Those are directed upward. Here's where we go with fruit. My Christian brothers and sisters, I'm going to teach you something. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Your purpose, my purpose as a Christian, you've asked the Lord to come into your life, and I believe that the Holy Spirit permanently takes up residence in the person's life who has received Him. And the responsibility now for me is to bear fruit. Now you notice I said bear. Because you can't produce fruit. I'm going to help you. Here's what happens in our Christian life. I come and my life needed the Lord. Whether you're a child, I was 24 years old, whether you're late in years, doesn't make a difference. You need the Lord. I asked the Lord to come into my life. Why? Because I taught you before, it was a good deal. I trade up an old, broken, bruised, addicted, mean life for this life of God that's inside of me. I'm telling you, it was the deal of the ages. And so what he asks now is to bear fruit. So here's what happens. I began by faith. I looked to the cross, and by faith I said, I will accept the payment of Jesus on the cross so I don't have to pay for my own sins. I did that. I accepted it. I'm telling you, if I'm wrong, I'm going to be eternally wrong. That's where I'm at. I'm all in. My faith is in Jesus Christ on the cross. And the reason is because he came back to life. Nobody else has ever done that. That's the reason. That's the proof. Now, so I began by faith. You began by faith. But you know what happens? It doesn't take very long. Old Slewfoot, the old Lucifer, the old devil himself, he starts shaking his finger and says, who you think you are? You don't really love that person. You were impatient with that person. So you know what we try to do? We say something like this. Oh, I just need to be more loving. That could probably be true. I just need more faith. I just need to be more patience. And so what happens is we get back in the flesh and we start dedicating ourselves. I'm going to be more loving. You see? I'm going to do more good works. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. Those aren't necessarily bad things. But you know what you're trying to do? You are trying to produce fruit. You'll never produce fruit. The Holy Spirit of God produces fruit. So our responsibility is to yield to God that he may fill our life, that he can produce fruit through our life. Because I need to be more loving. I need to be more loving in my community. I need more love. That's not the way it works. Here's the way it works. It's like you are a tree. And on this tree it has limbs. And the Holy Spirit of God produces fruit on this tree. Love, joy, peace, you rate them. Patience, gentleness, right? Now you know what the responsibility is? Do I look like a tree? Okay. Now, here's my responsibility. It is so hard to get a hold of this. Because you think you're so good, and I think I'm so good, and I think I can do something. My job is to let the Holy Spirit of God produce some joy in my life. Here's some joy hanging here. And some love over here. Now, my responsibility is to live and exist in this world that if you need joy, you can come and take some joy off my life because the Holy Spirit has produced joy or love or patience or goodness. Got it? In other words, you know what God wants you to do with your life? He wants you to get out of the way. He wants you to stop your works of the flesh. He wants you to stop trying to be gooder, and that's not a word, better or worser, gooder or worser. I'm glad the children are not here. Listen. Just stop what you are doing in the flesh. Stop it. Stop it. Quit trying so hard. Stop. Yield your life to the Lord. And let him produce the fruit in your life that he wants to produce. Have you got it? It is so, we want to get in the flesh. We want to help God. Oh, God needs my help. Do you know how much righteousness I have in me? Zero. Oh, but I'll tell you, if I yield my life and let him produce fruit in my life, that other people can come and pick the fruit off their life. You need joy? You can come and get a little bit. Do you know he'll wear me out? Oh, it's so hard to come to the point in our life. We want to begin by faith and finish by works. It'll never work in that way. It'll never work that way. We start by faith, and you will finish by faith. Amen? Well, Brother TB, that's my final word for today. I absolutely promise you this. If you're here today and you need the Lord in your life, he wants to come into your life. He desires your body to live in. If you want to be used of the Lord, I promise you under the authority of the Word of God, if we will yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, he will fill us, he will seal us, and he will use us, and he'll produce fruit. And listen, you'll be a better person, and the world will be a better place. Thank you. Brother TB, you come, and let's have an invitation.